The matter of Young Min Kim, will we please have appearances?
The Ethics Counsel, Colleen Burden for the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Good afternoon, Young Min Kim, appearing pro se.
Justice Solomon will be participating in this matter. Ms. Burden.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Today, the court and the OAE, unfortunately, is at a disadvantage today because respondent has not complied with the order to show cause, which he clearly received. Respondent didn't participate in the disciplinary process at all and has filed no brief for today's purposes. So I would reserve the right for a two-minute rebuttal if the court is so inclined to agree.
Why don't you make that request at the end? If it's necessary, it'll not be a problem.
Yes, thank you. So just to give a brief synopsis, on June 15th, 2020, Attorney Todd Henderson of the New Jersey District Office for the U.S. Small Business Administration referred this matter to the OAE. Respondent represented several clients with their SBA loan applications. He served as closing counsel and provided legal opinions to the SBA in connection with 16 SBA 504 loans between June 22, 2016 and January 13, 2020. The OAE made several attempts via telephone, email, certified, and regular mail to get in contact with the respondent. Finally, on February 26, 2021, respondent did return the OAE's phone call approximately 7 months and 5 days after the first letter went out. And during that call, he did request a two-week extension and asked the OAE to provide him with his own banking documents that were on file from his prior docket with our office. I did advise the respondent to put that request in writing, which he did on that same date. And then on March 1st, the OAE did send respondent a letter denying his request. Respondent never communicated with the OAE ever again. He was fully aware that he was suspended and continued to appear in court, sign legal documents, and practice law. Therefore, the OAE did charge respondent with the following violations: practicing law while suspended in violation of RPC 5.5A1, engaging in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation in violation of RPC 8.4C, and failure to cooperate with the Office of Attorney Ethics as required by Rule 120-3G3 in violation of RPC 8.1B. In aggravation, respondent has allowed this matter to proceed by way of default, and as cited in In re Kivler, respondent's default or failure to cooperate with the investigative authorities acts as an aggravating factor, which is sufficient to permit a penalty that would otherwise be appropriate to be further enhanced. And under the theory of progressive discipline, respondent was previously suspended for 3 years. Therefore, in this case, the Office of Attorney Ethics does agree with the unanimous decision of the Disciplinary Review Board that respondent be disbarred for the totality of his unethical conduct. And I can answer any questions if the court has any.
Just want to get a better understanding. The time during which the respondent provided legal opinions was from June of 2016 to January of 2020?
Yes, that is correct.
And what was his status throughout that period, if you could tell us?
Yes, as of June 15, 2016, respondent was temporarily suspended for failure to cooperate with the Office of Attorney Ethics.
How long did that temporary suspension last?
It is still in effect, Your Honor.
And how did, if you can tell us, how did Mr. Kim know that he was temporarily suspended?
I do believe he was served, certification was proper. He was served with that temp suspension order.
And in his discussion with you asking for an extension of time, did he in any way suggest he was unaware that he had been suspended from the practice of law?
He did not indicate that, no.
Questions, anyone? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kim.
Afternoon, Your Honor, and the Justice of the Court. I stand here before the court with a tremendous sense of regret and embarrassment for letting a problem snowball into something of this magnitude. I could only hope that the court will hear my story today and decide that imposition of disbarment is too harsh of a remedy under the circumstances, and therefore should be avoided. I'm trying to combine my opening statement with my argument, so I would like to request the court's indulgence while I go through the procedural aspects of the matters briefly. My initial encounter with the disciplinary process began back in 2012, when my office forgot to deposit several closing checks worth several hundred thousand dollars from a client to cover the checks that were issued at a closing, you know, routine real estate transaction. I discovered that there was an issue with a overdraft when a check from a prior closing came through and was returned not paid. That was because the closing checks from the closing that I just mentioned were not deposited by oversight. My office deposited the check right away, but this overdraft incident prompted the Office of Attorney Ethics investigation and audit of my attorney trust accounts. I was requested initially to provide three-way reconciliations for the last 3 months preceding the overdraft, but I did not know at the time that the three-way reconciliations were required and how they were to be done. So I requested my CPA, my personal CPA, to assist me with preparing the required reconciliations. However, as I had not done the three-way reconciliations since being admitted in New Jersey in 2006, I was practicing in New York prior to 2006, and New York does not require three-way reconciliations, so I just did the reconciliations that the way that I used to do in New York. But ultimately, I felt that I needed to hire an accountant who knew the ins and outs of the attorney trust accounting regulations. So I hired an accountant that was referred to me by EasySoft, the company that makes a trust accounting software program. And we decided that it was better to do from day one because it was impossible to do three-way reconciliations preceding the overdraft without having all the records compiled from day one. And doing that took a lot of time while maintaining the daily private practice and getting all the files to provide to the accountant. It took longer than it should have. And the progress was slow at best. And a lot of that is on me to blame because I should have expedited cooperating with my accountant to get the reconciliations up to date. And the Office of Attorney Ethics graciously worked with us in giving us more time to try to complete the reconciliations. However, in 2016, they gave me a deadline to furnish the completed reconciliations. And we continued to work on the reconciliations, but I was behind the schedule and could not meet the deadline. And in June of 2016, I moved my office from Fort Lee, Bergen County, to Englewood, Bergen County, and did not know of my temporary suspension until my trust accounts were frozen due to the imposition of temporary suspension.
When was that?
I believe it was about a couple of months later, Your Honor.
So in 2016, shortly after or about June?
Yes, Your Honor. Had I known about the temporary suspension at that time, I would have made arrangements to have the funds released to the clients and avoid clients' funds being frozen. Upon learning of the temporary suspension, however, I immediately notified the clients, including Mr. Patel, who is a liquor store business closing was scheduled. But his closing could not be consummated because the funds were held frozen due to the order. Although I should have known better by diligent checkup of the mails picked up from the old location until the mail forwarding was done, I respectfully submit to the court that the continued representation that was alleged in the prior docket was not intentional. And I immediately stopped practicing law after those incidents. Now, I'm going to get into the SBA loan closings in a little while, but I'm going to jump to the circumstances behind the temporary suspension and my continued delay with the audit. The learning of the temporary suspension left me devastated, obviously, embarrassed, but mostly left me extremely, you know, mad at myself. I've been struggling with an issue of confronting personal problems on hand, often putting them aside, hoping that things will get better. It just didn't manifest itself in the audit process, but in my personal life also. I had gone to a psychologist to seek help, but I was told that my insurance wouldn't cover, so I had to stop after a few sessions. But I wanted to seek help to help me get through these personal obstacles so that I can get through the audit process and get back on track. But my problems continue to hinder me from tackling the problems that I faced. Examples of my issues included not providing my accountant with personal tax returns information, and I was behind 3-4 years of tax returns. I got pulled over for a DWI, and I didn't attend to the ticket for 3 years. I let a lot of things go on in my personal life while I was, in my personal opinion, a diligent, hardworking attorney for my clients. To make the matters worse, the accountant suddenly passed away in 2018 due to cancer, and she had all the documents, information, up-to-date reconciliation records. So it took me a while to get some of the files back from her family members, but to this date, I don't have the up-to-date information that my accountant used to work on. And I did request the Office of Attorney Ethics to provide those information that were furnished by my deceased accountant, but my request was denied. And because of the temporary suspension, the financial hardship that it brought on me further restricted my ability to retain a new accountant and also an attorney so that I could attend to the outstanding reconciliations and the disciplinary matters that came before me. But I can submit to the court that the discrepancies in the yet-to-be-completed reconciliations that surfaced were due to accounting errors and therefore not knowing. There was no intent to steal client funds. By record-keeping practices prior to the overdraft incident, I understand we're not in full compliance with the record-keeping requirements, but the problems were accounted for by errors and shortfalls in the accounting record-keeping practices, not knowing misappropriation of funds. Examples of accounting discrepancies included checks written from wrong trust accounts, as I had few trust accounts, undeposited checks being overpaid due to accounting errors. However, there were no claims of misappropriation filed by any of my clients. The clients who did file claims with the fund were due to the trust accounts being frozen following the imposition of a temporary suspension. But their funds had been in the account that was fully reconciled up to date. I was not aware that 3-way reconciliations were required in New Jersey, but after the overdrive incident, I took steps to retain an accountant to maintain the required 3-way reconciliations going forward, and my trust account was fully reconciled post-overdraft period. I wish I had been given an option, maybe deposit funds to cover the apparent discrepancies until the reconciliations were completed, so that I could avoid being suspended. But when I asked one of my attorneys whether that's an option, I was told no. My only option was to finish the reconciliations. I'm not sure whether that was the right answer, but, and also I was told by many that I would lose my license if there was any discrepancy in the trust accounting, whether knowing or not, and therefore I panicked. I submit to the court that in light of the foregoing, there was no knowing misrepresentation, and the unauthorized practice of law immediately following my temporary suspension imposition was not intentional. And finally, I would like to address some other matters that were addressed in the Disciplinary Review Board's decision. I began working with the Eastern American CDC in 2015. The CDC is a CDC is an SBA-regulated nonprofit organization focused on promoting community economic development through the SBA's 504 loan programs. They offer affordable financing to businesses in underserved areas. As such, they wanted to have a closing attorney from one of the underserved ethnic groups, and more specifically, who spoke the Korean language, as their staff is all Korean, and they thought that the language is important for them to be able to work closely with each other. I was approved to handle the 504 loan closings by the CDC and SBA, and also had completed the training to become the SBA's designated attorney. I was on their board for many years, and I was intimately involved with their operations from the moment the current head officer took over the CDC in 2015. Upon learning of my temporary suspension in 2016, I did advise the CDC of my issue, and I did suggest they get someone new to close their loans. However, they inquired if I can continue closing their loans until they found somebody to train and be their closing attorney. Since we were dealing with the SBA and federal loan program, and I was in good standing in New York, just like immigration attorneys working across the state borders. The CDC was struggling at the time to get started under the new management. I wanted to be of help, so I agreed to assist until a replacement is in place. There was a mistake I made.
They knew that you were suspended from the practice of law?
Yes.
And they asked you nonetheless to make submissions to the SBA?
Yes, based on the imprudent belief that I, since I was admitted in New York, that I could submit, I could handle the SBA loan program closings. Your Honor, I'm not supporting that thought or belief. I'm not submitting to the court that was the right thing to do. That wasn't the right thing to do, and that is the mistake that I made, and I deeply regret. And they found attorneys here and there, but they were not satisfied with the new attorneys, and even the SBA was not satisfied with the new attorneys. And no one knew the program as much as I did, at least from the areas that the CDC was performing. For many files that I closed, I did pro bono. As the CDC was going through tight finances, and I deeply regret that ill-advised decision I made, the SBA loans were the only files that I was involved with after learning of my suspension, and I did not intend to put anybody at risk. And I have been in temporary suspension, and I am still in suspension, and I have not been practicing law. So there's no ongoing prejudice to the system and to the public. I respectfully submit to the court. And also, as to not answering the complaint, when I received the disciplinary papers, I didn't know what to do. It just left me in a hopeless state. I know responding to the ethical charges is an obligation, not a choice, but given the financial hardships that I've been in since the suspension and my personal obstacles, I didn't know what to do. But I, in no event, under no circumstances, I wanted to disrespect the authorities or disregard the authorities in any way. And today, and lastly, I understand I have problems behaviorally or psychologically or by making imprudent decisions that I should not have made, but I've never been indifferent or defiant as the Office of Attorney Ethics suggested. To the contrary, I've been always courteous and respectful. Everyone who knows me will say I'm a person of good moral character and integrity, and I've had that reputation in my community for a long time. I'm a person of faith. I'm being a devout Christian. I've served on pro bono legal clinics for many years, serving the underserved members of the community, volunteering through organizations such as Korean American Lawyers Associations of Greater New York, church, and also I helped homeowners facing foreclosures following the 2008 housing crisis by volunteering with Lawyers Foreclosure Intervention Network, which is a joint project of the New York City Bar and New York City Bar Justice Center and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. I've always helped many people who needed legal assistance that could not afford to pay. I've been a hardworking, honest, reputable attorney with a caring heart for others. Obviously, due to my neglect in responding to the papers, I didn't have a chance to put in character evidence, but if the court would allow, I would like the opportunity to submit evidence of my personal character and that and show to the court that a person portrayed in the Disciplinary Review Board's report is not really me. Thank you for your time, and I request the court to do consideration in doing away with the disbarment and allowing me another chance to right the mistakes I've made and return as a respected member of the legal profession. Thank you.
Can I ask you a few questions, and others may have questions as well? The 16 matters that you handled for the SBA while you were temporarily suspended and submitted legal opinions, it wasn't, you explained that you thought perhaps because you were a New York attorney you could do it. In each of those matters, you certified that you were a member in good standing of the Bar of the State of New Jersey, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why did you make that false statement?
That's the decision I deeply regret, Your Honor. I thought it was in the best interest of the CDC at the time. I was the board president, and I wanted to help as much as I can. It's not because I wanted to make money, Your Honor. It's only probably 15, 16 files. I'm not saying it's de minimis. It's a lot of files while being suspended, but it wasn't many clients that I affected. It was just CDC and the SBA, and I didn't represent the borrowers. It was only the CDC and the SBA, so.
The character evidence that you've alluded to, what are you referring to that you would like to submit? Letters from others, or is it something else?
Letters from others.
I don't want to pry. This matter is on the record, being live streamed. I don't want to pry into your medical issues. You alluded to them, but you haven't told us anything other than that you went to a psychologist on a few occasions in 2016.
It was before 2016, Your Honor.
I accept that. Do you have any reports? Do you have any letters, anything at all with respect to your medical situation?
Your Honor, the doctor I went to see, she didn't issue any report, but she said, she mentioned to me that number one, it's not going to be covered under insurance. Number two, she didn't think there was a psychological disorder. She thought it was more of a behavioral disorder.
Is there anything more, mindful of the fact that this is public information today, is there anything more you would like to tell us about that?
About the
behavioral or the psychological issue that you're asking the court to take into account?
Yes, Your Honor. As I indicated to the court before, a lot of the delays have been due to my inability to cope with the problems on hand. These shouldn't take months, years. to take, to resolve. I just put things off. That's been my personal obstacle, not trying to face up to the issue on hand. And I try to avoid from avoid the reality by telling myself that it's going to get better when I'm not even trying anything.
I credit your coming to court today, but you told us that you panicked and didn't know what to do. What is it that alerted you to the fact that you should start to attend to the problem at this point and not up until now?
Your Honor, my kids are growing. They're two are in high school, one is in middle school.
I'm sorry, I missed what you just said.
My kids are growing. When this initially started in 2012, they were young kids. Now they are growing up, and it's the duty that I owe to them that I do my part, be a good father, be a responsible father, and also at the same time, be a responsible member of this community. And I felt that me letting the problem snowballing to a bigger problem, it should come to an end here. And I did speak to an attorney prior to last week about continuing on the reconciliations with an accountant. So it's my intent to proceed with correcting the mistakes that I made, and hopefully the court will give me another chance.
And tell us, please, one last question for me, why you failed to respond for approximately 4 years to the OAE?
The latest docket, I failed to respond, Your Honor, but I think the docket prior to, I had an attorney that represented me in connection with the hearing.
So you were suspended in 2016 for failing to cooperate. Are you representing the court that you did cooperate?
With respect to the 2016 docket, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Well, I think there are a few dockets, but I did retain an attorney initially before the overdraft incident, and then I retained another attorney for the 2019 docket, I believe, which was decided in 2020.
The docket on which you appear here today, over what period of time have you not responded to the OAE?
For this docket, Your Honor, I believe this docket was docketed in 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Questions, anyone? Anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Kim?
I stated to the court earlier, I believe imposition of disbarment is a professional death sentence of my career, and I respectfully submit to the court that it should be avoided and that I should be given another chance to correct the mistakes I've made. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Burden, did you want to add anything?
Yes, if I may.
Please come to the center.
Thank you. Just briefly, when it comes to the respondent's personal issues, mental health issues, it is the OAE's stance that he has never revealed any of these issues to my office, not to me, not to prior OAE deputies, not in our phone call back in February. Nothing was ever said about any type of issues or personal problems. When it comes to the change of address, where he is claiming he didn't receive the order stating he was temporarily suspended, it is the OAE's position that every attorney is responsible to keep their contact information up to date and accurate with their attorney registration. When it comes to the SBA, knowing that Mr. Kim was suspended and still permitting him to practice, Your Honor, we do have an email from Nancy Capel from the United States Small Business Administration. She's the district counsel, senior counsel for 405 closing and reviews. And that is Exhibit 7 within the OAE's complaint. And it essentially, you know, states that it came to their attention that he's been suspended. So without proof that his suspension has been lifted, we will not be able to accept any closing packages that you are preparing this month for your client referenced. Thank you, Nancy Capel. So it is the OAE's position that the SBA was not permitting the respondent to continue to practice the unauthorized practice of law. When it comes to the prior case that was referenced by the respondent, he also didn't cooperate with the OAE. That docket also went to default. And then also one of the RPCs that he violated in that case was unauthorized practice of law. So, you know, the OAE submits that disbarment is the appropriate quantum of discipline. Thank you.
Mr. Kim, is there anything you'd like to say in response?
Just briefly, Your Honor. My attorney, in response to, I believe it was a 2019 docket, did plea defense of psychological issue. I did mention to my attorney about the personal problems that I was having. I'm not sure if that was communicated to your Office of Attorney Ethics, but I acknowledge that I haven't personally advised the Office of Attorney Ethics, but I did advise my attorney. And secondly, I wanted to add that the client, I wasn't involved with other representation, the cases other than the SBA closings that I referenced before. So the danger to the community, or danger to the legal system, or danger to the public is not ongoing, once again. I wanted to respectfully request the court to take that into consideration, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement.